there's consistency there, and I'm that makes sense.
But I want to know what Paul's were too, just for grins and giggles, you know.
Yeah, they're I don't know. It didn't look like a very interesting lineup when I was pulling it up, but except for the last card or something. But the but as I say, we have a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go down the list, and you're going to need to jump on more than one character.
Who all is on the call right now? How many do we have on the call?
Joy's here, right?
Yeah. I didn't read the chapter ahead of time, so I don't know the characters, so just go ahead and assign me as you see fit.
Yeah, well, we got Tom Strong.
Probably Tom Strong.
Okay. We got Sophie.
I'll be Sophie.
You got the radio. I'll be the radio. We got Telsa.
Tesla.
We got Tesla. We got Trish. We got boyfriend Carl. He's got very. I'll be boyfriend Carl. I can be that. He's kind of a dumb guy. He has not much to say. We got Agent Ball.
I'll do Agent Ball.
Okay. We got Solomon Gorilla.
Not you, Paul.
Oh.
Solomon Gorilla. We got the cop. This is a very small walk-up piece of cop. Agent Bruegel.
I can do Bruegel, too.
Okay. And we got Sophie Promethea.
Oh, I can do her since I'm doing Sophie.
Okay. We have a cop technician. I can do that. We have Dalua. That's
Tom Strong's wife.
Yes.
I could be Telsa. Yeah, I don't know who you want me to be. Should I be Telsa and Dalua?
Yeah, we got to be more than one.
Yeah. So, okay, so I'm Telsa and Dalua. I don't know who Telsa is.
That's his daughter.
Yeah.
And they're very short parts. Mm-hmm. Then we have FBI Hansard. He's the one with the weird glasses. And I thought I'd be him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
Then we have Karen. That's his assistant. She's an FBI person, too. Somebody want to be her?
I can be Karen.
Then we have the Shmee. I usually like playing the Shmee, but I think I want to give it to David today.
Okay, I'll be the Shmee.
You'll be the Shmee, okay. And then there's Jack Faust, of course, that's me, for sure.
That's you, yep.
Then we have a number of cameo places, bystanders. We have the Diners. We have Roger, that's the transsexual, and Marv, of the five swell guys, and last but not least, we have a couple of bystanders. I think they're all screaming at the end.
Who feels like screaming today?
So that's it, as I said, and actually, I think next week is character heavy as this one. I think as everybody's getting on stage.
Yeah.
In case. Before we start reading, or actually do the draw, I wanted to point out the Promethea versus the terrific Tom Strong cover.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And what they did, and this shows up on the PDF, which starts at, I think, at 391 and goes on for about 10 pages. It shows a number of homage covers. This one, of course, is the one that was done for this one. And they show some other ones that they also they did. So... all right, so let's not get bogged down on that. Let's go to the fun stuff, which is our
Do you want to know the reading now, the layout, the spread?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Do I know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is. I don't know. This is very weird.
This is the spread. Yeah.
Okay. The Chariot, card one, is the Chariot.
Wait a minute. Okay. I gotta get to another place.
What page are we on in the Prometheus PDF?
About 391.
391.
Number two is the Ten of Swords, Ruin. Number three is the Two of Cups, Love. Number four, the Ten of Wands, Oppression.
Ten Wands?
Yep. Number five is 15, the Devil. Number six is the Nine of Swords, Cruelty.
Wow, that's a heavy duty hug cards here.
Nine of Swords, huh?
Yep. Number seven is the Wheel of Fortune, or Fortune in the... Number eight is the Prince of Swords. And number nine is the Knight of Cups.
Which is the King.
Yep.
Okay.
So, how's that look compared to your spread?
Well, actually, what's interesting is that we actually have several that are the same.
Ah.
Not the same, exact same place, but still the same. Okay, I guess for laughs, I'll do mine.
Go ahead.
Okay, number one is the Six of Swords of Science. Number two is Three of Discs, Works. Number Ten of Wands, Oppression. Number four is the Nine of Swords, Cruelty. Number five is the Five of Cups, Disappointment. Number six is the High Priestess.
Someone's running water. I'm hearing things.
Yeah, I'm hearing like a garbage disposal or something.
Yeah. We're recording.
It must be my heater. Y'all, you say that when my heat pops on.
Oh, okay.
Ah. Well, we'll let you have heat.
Number seven.
Well, I can use the line for now.
Is it number six? Is it
six, High Priestess, number seven.
And number seven is the Prince of Discs. Number eight, Nine of Discs, Gain. And last, but not least, number nine is 20, the Aeon.
Now, should I give you both spreads?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
I think it'd be very confusing. We do have, in itself, a rather astounding appearance. They're not exactly in the same place, but they come pretty close, which is the Ten of Wands
and the Nine of Swords.
That in itself is quite interesting. But what I would do is let's wait until we actually discuss the layout.
Mm-hmm. After we read, we can just...
Yeah, after we read it and...
Okay, shall we begin?
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
Who's talking here? Is this the radio or is this, this is Tom Strong, maybe?
I think it's the radio. It's like... I think it's the radio.
That's Tom Strong, isn't it?
That's Tom Strong.
Oh.
No, I don't know, but it doesn't seem right, but does
it? Well, maybe is now a good time, is Tom Strong, but the rest of it looks like it's coming on the TV.
TV.
You know, if you look at the kid watching the TV.
All right, well, I'll be the radio. So
okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, is now a good time? This is not a drill. Is now a good time? Someone's going to catch it when mom gets home. Is now a good time?
Okay.
Who is this? Is this Stacy?
That's Sophie.
It is Sophie? Oh, that's right. That's her in her disguise. Okay. No, not really. Why are you chasing me?
Because I know who you are. You're Joey Estrada. You used to live in New York. We were Sophie Banks. Sophie Banks is our current heiress Promethea.
No, I mean, you've got it all wrong.
Sophie, please, I'm Tom Strong. I don't get things wrong. Although you've never met me before, I used to work with the earlier Promethea. I liked her. We were friends. I'm not your enemy, Sophie. I just want everything straightened out.
Look, if I said I knew this Sophie Banks, okay? Knew her real well. And, like, I know she never, ever wants to become Promethea again, right? If I said that, would it make all this go away?
Sophie, if it was just me, you wouldn't even need to say that. The FBI are involved in this current climate. They see you as a terrorist. They say you caused the abduction of some children.
That's a lie.
Sophie, I've seen the files. They've included the grandchildren of Henry Royce, who Promethea visited once. They were abducted by an individual who appears to have been the fictional Pied Piper. They're assumed dead.
O.F.
Yeah, well, but I think the FBI are most concerned about us in this business, about the Promethea intending to end the world.
Promethea doesn't have a freaking choice. Oh, Christ.
What?
Oh, wait a minute, my book just flopped closed. Sorry. Hold on there, folks. She doesn't have a choice. It's not what she intends or doesn't intend. That's why I'm never turning into her again. I don't want to do it. I don't want to end the world. Those children, I didn't know about it. I don't know how it happened. Mr. Strong, I'm only like 20 or something. I can't take all this stuff.
Shh, it's okay, Sophie. Everything's okay.
Now, is that me?
Yes, that's
Tom?
MBC exclusive from the Millennium's Laundry Street, where Tom Strong has apparently captured an unknown woman after a dramatic chase. Federal sources have confirmed that Strong is currently helping them track a female terrorist.
Sophie?
Joey?
her. We got her. It's
Promethea. When it blows, it stacks. Get the hell away from here. This isn't your concern. You lied. You said you weren't my enemy. You lied.
We better pull back.
Sophie, please, you have to believe me. I didn't alert the media.
You're 7 feet tall in a bright red shirt, and you were chasing me. Of course you alerted them. Now everything's screwed.
It doesn't have to be. Look, if you're serious about not wanting to be Promethea again, why not explain that to the FBI?
You are so dumb. They're so scared of her, they'll shoot me just to make sure. They're probably headed here right now.
Tesla? Solomon, it's me. Look, if any of the feds show up, tell them to back off and make sure they don't deploy the snipers. What did you do to my daughter? In shock, no, it's okay. Yeah, okay, Tom, out.
What? Nothing. Well, I hit her with my bag. She suddenly looked sort of spaced out, so I took my opportunity. Look, I didn't mean to hurt her. She was going to hit me.
She's in shock. She can't stop crying, and she just keeps talking about a glass of water or something. What did you do here? What did you do to her?
Nothing. I don't know anything about a glass of water. Look, just let me go, okay? Before the feds get here. Just say I escaped. I'll leave Millennium. I won't be your problem anymore. Please.
Sophie, I don't see, I can't take that chance. If one day you become Promethea and end the world, it's everybody's problem.
You're going to, right? You're going to give me to the feds.
You're going to give me to the feds.
That was me. I said that.
Oh, okay. Sophie, realistically, I can't withhold you from them, not after the TV helicopter, but I can promise they won't harm you.
No, you can't. Don't you see? You're not leaving me any options.
Sophie, look, if you're thinking of turning into Promethea, all I'm saying is I can stop you before you have time to scribble a drawing or whatever you do.
I don't need all that anymore. This is you. You're making me do this. Oh, God. I stay her from her task.
What?
Her way I bar.
Oh, God. Sophie, don't.
Now she discards my mask.
I'm warning you, don't. Do it.
Promethea.
Oh, okay. The end of the little box underneath the great explosion is...
She's turned off from
Jesus,
me.
Oh, Jesus, fire at will.
No!
Up. Kaboom.
There she is.
In all the glory.
Yep.
Hey, great. Hey, Agent Briggle. Somebody must have loaded our guns with what? Butterflies?
Those are moths.
Dash blasted guns. What about Master Tom?
You're not the Promethea I knew. What? What are you?
I am the final fire. Make things right with yourself, Tom Strong. Make things right with God. My time has come.
I wonder what that... Okay.
Strong, what in hell happened, man? You let him get away. Our whole recapture operation is finished.
Agent Ball, I think everything's finished.
What do you mean?
I think she said she was going to end the world. That's what I think. She's headed to some place to commence things.
Oh, Jesus. We have to get some F-115s in the air. Bring her down.
Really? And what's happened when she turns our jets into flocks of parakeets?
Oh, God, Lucille, he's right. We'll have to track her by satellite. Find out where she's going. Mr. Strong, look, I know we've perhaps handled things badly, but what should we do here?
Agent, you've done plenty. You've interfered with us. Science people, and worse, I mean the science community. We're the only ones with a chance of taking her out of this.
Mr. Strong, this is a federal case. We can't have your people intruding on it.
Agent Brugel, this is no longer a federal case. This is the end of the world. Go be with your loved ones.
Joey?
No, Carl, not Joey, but yes, it's me.
I was watching you on TV, and good God, so weird. I feel like this has all happened before.
It's always happening. Everything's always happening.
Right. I kind of understand. You know, I understand what you mean. You're Promethea, yeah? A science heroine from New York. You're out of my league now, right?
Yes.
That's okay. Joey, you always were. So, you're gonna go something pretty important right now, huh? That's what it feels like.
Yes, I'm going to end the world.
Yeah, I guess I kinda knew that. Oh, God. Well, okay, that's cool. We sort of deserve it, don't you? I mean, we all screwed up, we pull. It isn't gonna hurt.
A lot of people will hurt themselves. And yes, you deserve it. I love you so much, Carl. I love all of you so much.
I can feel what you're saying, you know. Jesus, Joey. What is this shit fed up? I mean, you like the horniest thing that I've ever seen, and I feel like I'm talking with my mom.
Call her, Carl, and call your sister. She's angry with you, and there's no time for that now. Put it right.
I will. Listen, when it's all over, maybe I'll see you afterwards, huh?
Carl, there is no afterwards. Farewell, my love. I'll see you in time.
Like she's left the Strata address. If she's leaving Millennium, I'd say she was headed for New York.
Christ, Karen, we have to call Washington. Yeah, definitely call Washington. Jesus, Lucille, Jesus, she's going to do it, isn't she? Karen?
Mountain, when she comes.
But I should, if it's ending, I should be with Gordon and Billy. I should... Karen, look, it's not... Huh?
You'll be coming around the mountain. Holy shit.
Chuck Tula Nupun. Look at the sky. It's all.
Talia, I need you to make some calls, and I need the jump set. Jet, listen, Tufts had a real bad scare.
Baby, what?
Find Val so we can take care of her. And after that, place calls to Indigo and Coffeeburg while I head for Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, I say, Saab, what on earth are you doing now?
I'm doing what has to be done. I'm going to find out if John Merritt Ray is still alive. And then I'm receiving America's best.
Hells.
Let me out. She's coming. She's coming around the mountain. Yeah.
How long has it been like this? Yeah.
It's the longest it's ever held a shape or spoken.
Don't you understand? Someone's going to catch it. Someone's going to catch it when Mom gets home.
Incredible. What about the others?
Yeah.
They're all sort of restless, except Faust. Christ, I wish it would stop screaming.
I better go check on them. What's going on, Faust? You know somebody about this, don't you? This better not be some of your magic, okay? I can increase your medication. It ain't me, Agent. It's her. She's coming back. She'll take Manhattan.
Radio.
And with one coalition shoulder killed each day since the war's end nearly 2 months ago.
The war ended? Wasn't it just yesterday the fighting started? Hey, what month is this anyway?
Riding six white horses, riding six white horses.
Let me go! Let me go! Six white horses. Horse flesh. She'll be riding six white horse flesh. I mean, horse flesh. But don't let me babble on. Yeah!
Human months ago, when the White House spokesperson, Ari Fleischer, announced a state of red alert, this follow-up FBI intelligence believes will be connected with the events in Millennium City earlier today. Wait a minute, earlier today? Wasn't that in March or something? What about this? I'm getting confused here. Simultaneous reports that the SARS epidemic is spreading out of control and is almost over. Hold on, that can't be right.
You know, a couple years back, I robbed my mom. I just thought of that. Jesus.
We ought to go outside. I got this feeling.
Yeah, me too. Outside. That's a great idea. You know, I feel like I just woke up and I don't recognize this place.
Yeah, say this glass I'm holding. Does it remind you of anything?
She'll be wearing pink pajamas when she comes. Come, nobody likes us. Often Bin Laden.
Wait a minute, where are you?
That was the weeping gorilla.
Oh, okay.
Fleischer, repeating the red alert warning issued earlier today, and Bob, wait a minute. Don't Ari Fleischer step down as press secretary some months ago, or am I mixed up?
Oh, Sophie, oh baby, what does this all mean?
And we'll kill the red rooster when she comes. With thousands of New Yorkers spontaneously going outdoors to see this phenomenon, there is still no response from the four swell guys.
Damn, Maud, have you seen this?
Well, I haven't seen this before, but this has happened right before my big revelation. And we'll all go out to meet her when she comes.
Yeah, this is not a drill. Holy Christ, holy cow, holy grail, holy shit, holy mother, holy Bible, holy Babel, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Yeah.
Sing it all, yippee, yippee, aye.
You know, you're right about the glass. Mine reminds me of something, too, but I don't...
Hey, everybody's come out here, everybody in the world.
See, there she is.
But that's my mom, isn't it? What's my mom doing up there?
Singing out, yay, yippee, yippee, yay.
Singing out, yay, yippee, yippee.
Aye, aye, yippee, aye.
Yay. Next, don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when you said goodbye.
Wow.
Okay.
That was a very interesting chapter.
It has begun.
The end of the world has arrived.
It has arrived, but it hasn't... Does anybody know what that glass of water is all about?
I have no clue.
There was a glass of water in one of the previous readings.
That's what made Tesla go into her kind of like shock trance.
And what was the characteristic of this glass of water?
Half empty or half full?
That's right.
Yeah. And that's...
Actually, I do know about the glass of water, but I won't spoil it for those who haven't read on.
Oh. Okay. Well, it's millennium.
The end of the world.
My name is Topsy Turvy.
Mm-hmm.
There's big changes coming, and that's the chariot, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The world's coming. Very strong will. I mean, this is happening. It's almost like it's got a will of its own, you know.
That's right.
Can't stop it. So, yeah.
And the storage, which is ruined, things are going to be ruined, it appears.
Absolutely.
And she's being told to go find some love, find the sacred cord among people.
Yeah.
Back to loved ones.
Yeah. And then oppression.
And then the devil's going to take it. We don't know about that yet.
The devil is the motivation. It's a kind of attachment.
Yeah.
To where things. That's why it's and that's misapplying attachments. Mm. May be why we hurt one another.
Mm.
Right.
You know, she does say that I'm not going to hurt anybody, but people are going to be hurting themselves.
That's right.
Because they're going to realize that
the Nine of Swords.
The way you've got things put together is painful.
I think that's a very good observation, Paul, about attachment. It's attachment that's actually bringing on the end of the world.
Yeah.
Attachment, the more we try to hold on, the less
and we're trying ability to hold on, trying to hold on to one version of the half a glass of water. We're either trying to hold on to it's half empty, or we're trying to hold on to it's half full.
Trying to hold on to what's left.
Yeah, the Ten of Swords in the area of emotion, ruin, and also the communication area of the Two of Cups, love.
Even Promethea, as she was exiting from Carl, she told him how much she loved him.
So. Right.
Yeah.
Right, and that she's telling everyone to communicate the love before the end comes. Set things right. And you only set things right through unconditional love.
Right.
And not holding grudges.
So that's how you're reading the Two of Cups there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Wow.
There's only love and forgiveness. You know, when the end comes, what does it all matter?
Right.
The only thing that matters is to set things right.
Has left the conference.
It's very interesting.
The Arc of Influence, that whole section there, the Fortune and the Prince of Swords and the Knight of Cups.
Oh, the King of Cups is the ultimate in love and, you know, caring.
This is a cycle of life we're going through. It's, you know, it's just something we have to go through. We all go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Individually, you know, and or collectively.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And once we give over to it, it's going to happen very quickly. That's the Prince of Swords.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. And then the Knight of Cups means he's experienced everything. He's experienced all the emotions of life that there is to experience. And we're going to experience all of that.
Yeah.
Mm. The Nine of Swords and the oppression and despair and cruelty. Oppression oppression is like, okay, this is the task at hand.
Has arrived.
It's a hard task. This is the task at hand, which is a difficult, burdensome, it's a burden of mankind.
Yeah.
You know, but also the despair and cruelty, or cruelty, the Nine of Swords, is also called the card of the unloved.
That's right.
In,
card of the unloved?
Yeah. It's a very cold card. You know, when the Rider-Waite, it's the person that's waking up from the nightmare situation.
Out of the soul kind of thing.
And it was also called the card of the cleric, because they could not. Yeah, it was also the card of Nine of Swords is many times considered the card of the person who gives up physical love for God.
Yeah, that's why you know, torture little children and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, feel balanced inside.
Mm-hmm.
It makes so much sense.
And the Fortune is the fate.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling depressed.
Yeah, it's a heavy duty set.
It is. It's just burdensome, you know.
Look at that last.
So
You look at that last picture, and that last picture reminds me of the death card. You know, the on the right of weight card anyway. The priest looking up at the death.
Oh yeah, you're right.
People standing around looking at death in different ways.
Receiving death in their own way. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, the child offers flowers to it in the right of weight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The king has lost his crown. You know, I mean, everybody's just, you're right. That's pretty neat, David.
Yeah. So let's look at that. Actually, it kind of makes sense because in case you don't remember, we continued through the throes of the end of the world for a couple more chapters.
Right. The end of the world is not its end. It doesn't come quickly.
We're feeling disoriented and find that our sacred cows are no longer giving us milk. We don't know why.
And speaking of milk, in that last picture that David was talking about,
mm-hmm.
down in the lower left, not exactly in the corner, but approaching the corner, there is a very pregnant woman
mm-hmm.
there, which is kind of an irony.
And in front of her is a guy with a death skull on his tattooed on his arm.
Yes. And a guy holding a glass that is half empty, half full.
Right. They all seem to have... Well,
yeah,
not all of them, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And then they have a guy, then above there's a guy with an alien T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a woman with a crucifix on over her almost bare breast.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, goth person over there, whatever.
Uh-huh. Wow. Quite a cross-section in the picture.
Yeah. Well, if you want to... switch up to my Toth.
Right. Mm-hmm. Aeon is excellent. High priestess.
Yeah. As the end. But I'll start with the beginning of this. The beginning is what I thought was strange.
Six of Swords.
Sword science.
There's the science guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well, it's not just the science guys. I think what it represents is Tom Strong.
Yeah.
Because he is like, you know, the... He was like he's like a big science experiment with his parents. Raised him. That's why he's 7 feet tall, because he was in a special gravity chamber, so he's exceptionally strong and long-lived, because they kept him 20 years in this isolation gravity chamber, so he'd be stronger. Artificial gravity chamber or whatever. You know, but so it's science, but it's, you know, it's science pushed to its, but it's also science in this case can be painful,
mm-hmm.
and with that stuff. Then we have the Three of Discs, which is, but it's the Three of Discs and water, which I think is interesting, which, you know, usually represents planning and execution of things, getting things to get things done.
Mm.
Sort of like completing your plans.
Well, you know, this is kind of, in a way, culminating the emotional side of one's plans for life. You know, how you want to feel about your life.
Yeah, maybe at the level of telling God God your plans, so God could have a laugh. Right?
Have a good laugh, yeah.
Yeah, right. And then
man proposes and God disposes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then air is wands, which is fire, and it's the Ten of Wands, the Surfer of Desire. So it's
something speeding it. Air feeds fire, so it's in the position that it's being fed, the oppression.
And then the Nine of Swords, cruelty, but in this case, it's in the earth area.
You know what I find interesting, contrasting the two readings? Paul, your Ten of Wands and Nine of Swords come in the same order that they came in Johanna's spread, but they're a little earlier in the spread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like one position earlier for each of them.
Mm.
So it's almost like a little quicker, we're getting to that quicker in your spread than we did in Johanna's.
If you look at the Ten of Swords and the Ten of Wands and the Nine of Swords in Johanna's spread, the middle card is the Devil. Okay, and if you look at that first card, the Nine of Swords is cruelty, and that's the middle card. The Devil card is more universal, and the Nine of Swords is more personal.
Mm-hmm.
Paul seems to be a more personal spread, I think.
Five of Cups, disappointment? Is that it?
Yeah.
Five of Cups is where the devil would be.
And of course, in this case, it's like the devil is the archetype of attachment,
mm-hmm.
and the Five of Cups is the way you'd feel about attachments not working, being disappointed. Yeah, I'm not gonna live any longer. Carl, you ain't gonna be hanging out with Joey any longer.
Yeah.
And of course, then we have the interesting thing is as the future outcome we have in Johanna's spread, we have the nine of swords. Have here is the High Priestess, and there's that, and that's a different take on the future because it might be putting a positive cast on Promethea, taking her as the High Priestess.
David, what you said about universal versus personal, I see that here, too. I mean, universally, a lot of people are going to find this whole experience a very cruel experience. They're going to try to keep their own at the expense of others. But some individuals are going to be much more evolved when this happens. And I kind of see the High Priestess as an indication of that spiritual evolvement. She's kind of above.
I agree with you, Mary Beth. I think the thing is the High Priestess path goes over the abyss. It goes, you know, it's this the bridge to the divine.
Yeah.
From the mundane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it's a different perspective on the same thing.
Right.
You know, we are not all at the same place on our in a spiritual evolutionary path. You know, we just aren't. We're all in here mixed up all together.
Yeah,
and when the end of the world comes, people are going to approach it depending on where they are.
Well, that goes to, again, with this idea of configuration. I mean, obviously, we've got a different configuration of two different people drawing this thing, which is kind of an interesting thing that just happened this time. I wouldn't want to make it a regular practice, but at the beginning of the end of the world, because one of the things it does draw with us is that each one of us is configured differently. We have our own network of attachments, the things we care about and the things we don't care about, our own, you know... two responses to the story.
Yes, absolutely.
What's interesting about, in some ways, like in looking at Johanna's spread, the thing that the full difficulty of the matter is still in the future, the Nine of Swords cruelty thing, and the arc of influence for her with the Wheel of Fortune and the Prince of Swords and the King of Cups shows that the future has a profound personal. There's sort of like personal travel when one comes to basic emotional equilibrium or intuitive equilibrium of the Knight of Cups. Whereas the one I pulled, we have as the future outcome the High Priestess, which already represents that equilibrium.
Right.
And then you have the Prince of Discs and the Nine of Discs representing, part of the transmutation of what's happening. And then you have, you have the full eon. It's sort of like, in some ways, it's sort of saying it ain't over yet.
Yeah.
Mine's saying it's not over yet.
Well, and I think that that's a very that sums up very nicely that people who are less spiritually evolved, and I'm going to use that because it's a handy catchphrase, but people who are at a different place on the spectrum view the end of the world as the end of the world, whereas people who are a little further along on the spectrum may just see it simply as a doorway into another realm, into
He's
another state.
Yeah.
And I mean, Aeon is definitely to me an opening, a calling forward, you know, being pulled forward into something different, which is a little more, I don't know, a little more metaphysically oriented than Johanna's spread, I think.
Hey, Joy, you got anything you want to say about these spreads or the reading?
I got up like 5 minutes before we started, so I'm out of it. And I just finished eating my breakfast, which I was trying to do quietly. I kept muting myself and unmuting myself and then accidentally hung up.
I wonder what happened to you. You really muted yourself.
I'm like, what's the bowl?
Is your bowl half full or half empty? Yeah.
It's totally empty now, and my stomach is happier. Nice bowl of oatmeal. But going back to the glasses, and I haven't read ahead, so I don't know anything about it, and this is a little esoteric, perhaps, but I can't help but think of it. Because in the Kabbalistic philosophy, there's that idea, you know, of the shattering of the of the whatever, and
shattering of the vessels.
Yeah, the vessels. Yeah, and that's what it made me think of just right away when he said that. Because at first I was just like, "What the heck is he talking about?" And then I don't know. That's the first thing that came to mind. But then when I started seeing, comparing that to the spread with the Ten of Swords and the Ten of Wands and really even the Aeon, a lot of that stuff, we had a lot of tens.
Mm-hmm.
To me, talk about the diversity. You know, I look at Kabbalah being unity dividing into diversity. So the tens are all that diversity. Of course, they're also the furthest away from unity that's possible, which is sometimes the closest to unity that's possible, but that's because Kabbalah loves paradox. But, and even, and, you know, the devil is about materialism, and a lot of, and I would have added one more comparison between Paul's and Johanna's, and I haven't pulled out my deck yet because I've been eating breakfast, but it seems to me that the Prince of Discs has an awful lot of similarity to the Chariot, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah,
they do look right. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, because he's in this. Okay, so the Prince of Discs, I would have compared also to the Chariot.
Mm-hmm.
So the Chariot rider is bringing that, even though it looks like a disc in front of him, that's actually supposed to be the Grail.
Mm-hmm.
And so I even wanted to kind of put in the Chariot / Ace of Cups or something.
Okay, it's the Prince of Swords. It's the Prince of Swords you're talking about. Looks like the Chariot. Joy.
Is that the Prince of Discs?
No, it's the Prince of Swords.
Oh.
He has three little gremlin-type people on the bottom, but he's definitely in a chariot. So that's the swords. And he looks like he has discs around him. It's very confusing, believe it or not.
I'm remembering the Prince of Swords as being... with all that yellow and green.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The fairy wings. And
yep.
Stuff.
Yellow. Yeah,
that's the one.
Yep. Emerald green. Right in front of me. It's not the disc.
Yeah, I
know. It's the Prince of Swords.
She's still like that. Okay.
But the comparison to the chariot is there definitely. It's almost like in battle, the charioteer in battle. It looks like.
If I'm not mistaken, almost all the princes are on chariots, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. All four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think the thing there is to see the way it normally reignites anyway, which is you see them as transitions. They're transitioning, and in this particular case, where is that?
This is where Crowley's deck is very confusing, because all the princes are the knights and they're all on chariots.
Yeah.
Whereas all the knights are the kings and they're all on steeds.
On horses, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe that that alone can sort of like, ooh, you know.
But the nice thing about that is that it emphasizes the classic masculine active.
Yeah, what I saw really, one of the things is mine, the one, like cards I laid out are very masculine.
They are.
And yours are very feminine.
Well, that makes sense in a way. In the sense that, you know, for me, my soul would be, my soul image would be that of the anima, and
mm-hmm.
your soul image is that of the animus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So in terms of them representing a message to our own personal unconscious, to the degree that the reading represents that, normally we haven't read them as belonging to any one in particular.
But maybe that is given towards what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And that in the fact that we're actually dealing with two readings today is, you know, suggesting that kind of pattern, though we've managed to read them solely as related to the story.
Okay, Paul, I have an idea. Excuse me. I'm sorry for interrupting. How about if we take the two readings, and yours is Prometheus' bend, and mine is Tom Strong's bend?
Ooh, that's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, we could do it that
because
way.
Because there's definitely some overlap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, yeah. And there would be.
And yeah, well, I mean, you know, we know that, you know, that things seem tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overweening desire. You know, I don't know about you guys for Halloween, but I had a grand time in Halloween, at least as far as
Oh, we had a wonderful time. I posted some pictures on Facebook. Yeah.
Oh.
I did tarot readings. At a
I managed to read for, about 9 women,
uh-huh.
none of whom I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And, and each one of them, each one of the readings, was using the same basic spread, which is this 9-card spread thing, but and I was reading as general patterns. Each one of them required a completely different take on the cards.
Paul, that is so strange, because my own experience was very similar to that. Very similar to that.
I'm glad to hear that. I did a party on Saturday night, and it was like the worst experience ever in terms of reading for people.
That's too bad.
Yeah. So keep talking.
Then I have this person sit down. Well, the other thing is that where I am is I'm literally like in the heart of a ancient hippie commune that's mm-hmm. been around for 40 years. And the guy's house that I was at was the de facto guru of this hippie guru. He was the charismatic leader of the hippie guru. And there are people from all over the country. So these people have known each other forever.
Yeah.
And I'm just vaguely finding out. I've known this guy for a couple of years, but I'm just vaguely finding out about what the history is. You know. It's all well known to everybody, but I don't know about it because I'm not from here. You know?
Right.
So somebody comes in and she says to me, "Well, you know," she says, "you know, I'm married into the tribe. In fact, that's what they call themselves, this tribe. They call themselves the tribe." And I said, "I'm married into tribe. I'm not from here, you know," and so forth and so on. So I get this reading, right? You know, a nine card reading. You know, seven of which are major arcana.
Wow.
You know. I mean, you know, I said, this is an intense reading. So she's going on, you know, so initially we're talking about, you know, her being in this emotional quandary of her work. But I said, there's more going on here than that. I said, you know how these kind of major arcana cards, and I just started about your
right.
Yeah.
That worked with somebody else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were you, something else was going on. Oh, she said, "I have died and been revived." I've been a theosophist for 30 years. And I look up at her and I said, "Well, so am I," you know. And I said, she looked at me and she says, "Are you a walk-in?"
Ooh.
All of a sudden, we're off into this other world of associations and multiple lives. She says to me, "How many lives do you actually remember?" You know, well, two. I said, my most recent and the one that I'm not quite sure where it fits in. But she said, "Oh yeah," she says, "but." So we were going on and on about all sorts of weird shit that you rarely talk to anybody about. You know, I kind of wished I had gotten her number or something to follow the conversation. But whatever her issues were, I said it was pretty obvious. I said you weren't going to have any difficulties. You just have to. Hangman was an important position in that reading for her, and I said you just basically in terms of life change situations, you needed to change your thinking about something.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
I had a horrible Halloween.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes, it was. What happened was I came to do, I go to my sister's house and we were supposed to do readings. I was supposed to do readings for several people. And one of the women who has the same condition on her right foot.
Oh my God.
As me says, I'll just hobble along. I'm not having any operation. And she's wearing these ballet slippers that are fashionable now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The flats.
Not at all supportive of your.
Right. She winds up breaking her ankle. Compound fracture that evening.
Oh my God.
You mean while she's at the party or whatever?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God.
She is taking care of her grandson. And the grandson, of course, is 2 years old. She is totally fried from babysitting already. And
that's a good way for her to get out of it in a way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was, I mean, forget it. That was, I just couldn't get over it. I mean, there's more to the story, but what I'm saying is, you know, maybe they were telling me something too. You know? Get the operation, Jana.
Yeah, never know.
So it was just totally amazing. So it was really not a great Halloween in the sense of that occurrence, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, anything where something tragic like that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Joy, you had a horrible Halloween?
Halloween itself was amazing. but Saturday night I had this party, and it was at this McMansion in the very ritziest of all the suburbs of Denver, Cherry Hills.
Uh-huh.
And And even within Cherry Hills, it was in the country club area, you know, so I had to, you know, be let in by a gatekeeper and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then it's just, you know, one starter castle after another. And I, you know, found the one that I was going to. And the people there, it was, I mean, it was a nice enough house and everything, and they had really decorated it nicely, but all the people that I was reading for, which I assume are probably in a very similar social set to the house I'm at, they were the most disconnected people I've ever met, worked with in my life. I could not, I just kept getting swords, just in which I talked with my friend Peter the next day, and we determined that, you know, one, the swords represent the idea that they're too, you know, intellectual and logical about things and not connected with the emotion at all.
What I call the swords, I got a lot of swords when I was doing my readings. I called it, it is the ego of the minor arcana.
Yeah.
It's egotism.
Yeah. Well, what ultimately happened, and this is what Peter and I ended up talking about, and he kind of helped me understand it, I tend to be fairly empathic with the people that I'm reading for.
Yeah.
So it really ended up getting me disconnected, which is totally the wrong thing for a tarot reader to be. And plus, and I had set an intention prior to starting the party. I'm like, this is a Halloween party. These are going to be fun, lighthearted readings. And usually when you set an intention like that, you know, it makes it, if nothing else, you find it easier to read the challenges in the reading.
Right.
But it was just getting harder and harder and more difficult for me. And Peter really pointed out for me that there are times that I'm going to need to, you know, be, instead of just tuning into the other people, I'm going to need to demonstrate what it means to be connected and show that and exemplify that, you know, as I'm doing the readings. So that was a really helpful thing to kind of learn from all that.
Yeah.
I made the most money in one day I've ever made.
I remember.
I remember there was one reading I got, and I was going on, well, it looks like you had a broken heart here. And it looks like, you know, you got the Two of Cups. Well, it looks like you could have, this is a classic marriage card. You know, so, you know, maybe you've gotten married recently. But I'm not saying any of this stuff because I don't know this person from Adam, right? You know, and she's out of this nondescript 30, right?
Yeah.
So I run the reading, and so then I said, well, I'll say, you know, I don't ask people to tell me where their issues are. Because I don't want it to bias how I'm reading the card.
Right.
Or build into it. But I said, all right. So I said, well, what do you think of this thing? She said, well, it's true. I was in a terrible divorce. And I recently got married. Uh-huh. And there's a hermit there. It's because my husband's in the army.
Oh, my God.
And I'm living by myself. You know? I said,
I said,
you can read the cards better than me. I said, but this is better because you know you should know yourself better than I do, you know. Uh-huh. So, no, that's good.
Well, my experience was very different. The hostess of the party that I was reading at actually belongs to a women's drumming circle, and several of the women that I read for were members of her drumming circle.
Well, that's
so great. I was getting lots of energy from them, but the thing is, I mean, there was just lots of connection. I could almost feel, it was almost like I had a rubber band or something coming out of my chest and hooking into their chest.
It
could have been very draining, but because I think they were sort of on the same wavelength that I am, it was very energizing instead. So it was pretty powerful. And I have to say that there were tears among three or four of the women as they received their readings. The cards were speaking very, very strongly. Not necessarily happy stuff, you know, but they were just very clear, very strong, just right, just dead on. It was an amazing experience. It was very, I read for almost 3 hours and didn't even realize that the time had gone, you know, that that much time had passed. It was pretty incredible. So it was a good experience for me. On the other hand, I didn't make very much money, but, you know, who cares? So, you know, but it was a good experience. So very connective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
And besides that, the fringe of the party around the readings was a lot of fun, too. I mean, my son and grandson were there, and my son's partner was there, and so there was just good energy all around. It was a good night.
I do want to, even though apparently what we're doing here is digressing from the end of the world, which we're in the midst of.
Yeah.
I do want to point out that actually what we are is we have just entered two-month holidays thing going to the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much everything, we're going to obviously finish up these readings, sometime in December and before Christmas, and we'll finish up this book and this event.
And what will we do without each other?
I've got something else in mind.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Which you can or cannot sign up for, but again, it won't be at any particular cost. Though we might change a few things, or at least experiment in changing a few things. You might go to doing a Skype group call.
Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
Apparently, you can do it, but I think the easiest way to do it is to have one person initial the group call and then bring in the other people. So, everybody would need to have a Skype number. I've got some people's Skype numbers, but I don't have everybody's Skype number.
So, how did you and Mary Collins do that tarot around the world?
Well, she had a licensing of a product that she was hoping to get the tarot community involved in, but what happened was that it didn't take off the ground because of a lot of technical difficulties.
Well, I remember that we had a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I foresee that we would probably have difficulties initially with Skype. Skype is not 100%. But what we could do probably before we actually start the thing is have a couple of experimental times where we get together in a conference call using the Skype system and see how it works and see if we want to actually do it. The thing about using Skype is we may be able to get a few people from across the pond.
Yeah, that would be fun.
To join us without any since we can get people from all over the world and. And go global.
You don't get the pictures, though. You just get
no pictures. It'll just be similar to what we're doing now, which is voice, and it might be that we'll have some people on view just to keep this sound solid.
Mm-hmm.
But besides, that's the technical side. The other side is that I'm thinking of going with the Jodorowsky's book.
Oh.
I wanted to do it with a second book, and the one I wanted to consider is for contrast. We're going to read them both at the same time, and what I'm going to do is have the parts that we're going to read. I'm going to have like listed ahead of time, so because we might skip around a little. But we'll probably, for instance, the first several weeks we'll be dealing with Jodorowsky's biography of his personal story and with things. And to the degree, I haven't really looked closely enough yet. But the second book I was thinking about and I wanted to get feedback on was Rachel Pollack's Tarot Wisdom.
Oh.
I do have that.
Yes.
I think a lot of people have had it, and they've probably all looked at it. I think that Rachel and Jodorowsky are Uh-huh. He's kind of doctrinaire in his view. And,
Now, are you talking about the way of the tarot, that Chaturasi?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah, right. I've got that.
Well, I've got a suggestion if it's not too crazy. If you think they're very different, why don't we do both together? Is there a way to do matching chapters and compare and contrast?
Well, we're probably going to have to, it's probably going to need to be broken down with a little more premeditation than that. It's not going to be simple matching chapters. We're going to have to skip around, not because of the way it's the way the books are set up are quite different in terms of the way they're structured. But that's what I was thinking of doing. Is that's one of the reasons why I was thinking that would actually have what pages would be reading for each. For each thing, and then it'll be partly reading and partly discussing, and it'll probably be around the cards and later around combinations of cards.
Jodorowsky, The Way of the Trill is not his biography, right?
No, it's not. The first couple of chapters deal with his biographical relationship to the Tarot. And his development, how he ended up developing his view of the Tarot, and his ultimate bias towards the Marseillais, and his disappointment with the Rider-Waite deck. Whereas Rachel doesn't have those things. She pretty much read any deck, new or old. Rachel's view is very oriented towards the art and towards the intuition and reading the symbols.
Right.
Whereas Jodorowsky's is reading the symbols too, except that they're more abstract and he's a little more doctrinaire about them.
There's more structure there.
And that's part of the interesting contrast that I think would be we might find that we hate or love them simultaneously.
What is the name of his biography?
He does have a biography on. I forget what it is right now.
You were saying you wanted us to have two books.
Yeah, the two books are Jodorowsky's The Way of the Tarot.
Right.
And in that book, The Way of the Tarot, he has several introductory chapters that deal with his biographical relationship with the Tarot.
He goes into his son's death, what he did at his son's death.
Yeah.
It's germane. It's tangentially germane. And that's his style.
Yeah. And I don't know if... I don't think Rachel Pollack has quite that confessional take in this book, Wisdom, The Wisdom of the Tarot. But I think that they're different enough that we can read them with profit, and they'll perhaps be food for thought.
I wonder how Rachel would feel about being juxtaposed against Jodorowsky, and don't have to say that twice.
Well, I think as far as the books, since the book is now published, you can do anything you want with it.
I'll
drop her a note and tell her we're planning on doing it if we decide to do it. If you have the book, take a look at it. If you have both books, glance through them and let me know in the next week, because I do have to make a decision. December 4th, as you may have noticed, we have an opportunity to appear on Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know
on the
that.
Victoria or something rather show. And this is all of us who come to this call.
A podcast?
I want you to be there for the live.
No, I will.
Yeah, it will be a podcast afterwards.
Because I couldn't find the podcast, Sal.
Well, it's because it hasn't happened yet.
No, not ours.
She's talking about her in general. Her
right.
I gave you the link.
I got the link. I went to the page. I couldn't find the.
Yeah, I couldn't get it either. I was in something else. It was another podcast. It wasn't hers.
You have to scroll down on the page and look for it. Look for the title.
Okay.
And then there'll be some buttons there. One will say play, and another one will say download, and
I looked for all of that. I'll look again. Thank you.
But you know what happened to me when I did that, and it was very strange. I could not... The podcast that automatically started playing when I went to, you know, just used the link, kept playing in the background while I was trying to listen to hers. And if
well,
I closed that one in the background,
it
closed
them both. All right, yeah, there's a reason for that. One, when you get into this Blog Talk Radio, you do have to sign in and sign up. And if you have, if you open up two, two windows at the same time, they you will get simultaneous talks because they're not window specific, so you have to make sure that you close the window that you don't you're not interested
but
in.
But when I did that, it closed both of them. I couldn't get the one to stay up. It was very
Well, that's because it had to do with the sign in. I've had the same kind of trouble. But I've worked around it.
I'll have to play with it a little bit because I mean I've listened to other things on Blog Talk Radio plenty of times and I've not had that issue, but it just seemed to happen with this particular
thing. Do you need to sign in and all of that? Sign in and be a member
I
may be able to do that.
So the purpose of this it's only an hour show, it's a short one. Is to share with people our experience of Promethea. We probably won't be out of it. We'll probably be in the wrap up. We'll be post millennium. We won't be in the spallies that we're in now with being between the worlds and not knowing what's going to happen or whatnot. Yeah.
And that's at 5 o'clock Eastern on Saturday, December 4th.
Yeah.
I've got a party that I'm working that day, and I don't remember what time the party is. I think it's in the evening, so I can probably do it.
For you, it's going to be it'll be a little earlier. It'll be more like 4 o'clock or 3.
Is it a one-hour deal?
It's a one-hour
deal. Yeah, it's 1 hour.
Okay.
I had a thought. I don't know how. I mean, I'm perfectly happy to do wisdom, Rachel's wisdom, but her favorite book of mine is The Forest of Souls.
Oh, it is good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think it's amazing.
And I thought that doing a book like that, plus a structured book like The Way of the Tarot by Jodorowsky might be interesting.
All right. Well, I'll look at
both. Do you know the book, Paul?
I know. Yeah, I've read it.
Okay.
So what I'll do is I'll look at all three and see if I can get an idea structurally how we can deal with it. I will probably use the master path. We'll use Jodorowsky as our main the main thing, and then we'll may use Rachel's stuff as tangential to the Jodorowsky.
The Forest of Souls is like totally liberating, and the other books are about structures. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
It's an interesting just
to address it one part at a time. And Tarot Wisdom is almost an expanded rework of 78 Degrees.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, and apparently she did it as a class that lasted, two and a half years or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, a weekly class or whatever it was. The,
Spiritual Journey of Alejandro Jodorowsky, the creator of El Topo, is on Amazon, and that's his autobiography, I guess.
But don't confuse that. I'm saying that the autobiographical stuff germane to the Tarot is in The Way of the Tarot. I mean, you can get that book, The Way of the Spiritual Journey. I mean, I've read that also. found it a little hilarious in a way.
That's an interesting word.
Well, it's only that it's sort of like what is it? It's you know, spirituality is braggadocio, you know. It's basically, you know, instead of giving all these... So a lot of the stories he has there is, you know, just basically him bragging about his conquests.
Yeah, I thought you had said at the beginning of the conversation you wanted the two books. You don't want the two books then?
Well, we want two books, but not those two books.
By two books, I meant Rachel's book.
Okay.
And Jodorowsky's book on Tarot.
Yeah, I have both. That's good. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm reading a lot of biographical material on people in the Golden Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And how the biographers deal so little with the Tarot in relationship to the individual. Even Pixie Smith, not that there's a good biography out on her. What we have is Kaplan's really centennial and Mary Greer's blog.
Did you read Mary Greer's Women of the Golden Dawn?
Oh, yes. But Pixie really wasn't in it.
No.
Well, she wasn't really a member, or was she?
Yes, she was.
She was a member at a later time, and there's just not a lot of documentary evidence around. Yeah. I mean, you have to remember what gets picked up by the historians is what's left behind.
Well, she was a huge, W.B. Yeats and his wife and his brother, even his father, befriended her. Ellen Terry, she had enormously influential friends, but somehow she faded, and she was a very successful artist, very successful.
What I think is, I don't think she went up through the ranks of the Golden Dawn.
No, she did not.
Whereas Lady Freda Harris was a Sorora.
Yes. No, she only went up one or two ranks at the most. I think one rank,
I thought the others. I thought Freda Harris wasn't in the Golden Dawn at all, but she was in Crowley's group.
I haven't heard Freda Harris, I have to be honest with you, and I think Mary would have included her.
Freda Harris, according to Marcus Katz, I think that's where I got the information, it could have been somewhere else, it's pretty clear that she hung out with some of that Golden Dawn crowd, but this is long after the Golden Dawn was gone. And that what she did is that she got her she studied with Steiner's group that was dealing with the projective geometry, and it was a specific form of projective geometry. She was pretty upfront about it. And I either read that someplace
upfront
or I heard
about
it.
Upfront about what?
About her working with Crowley to do his tarot deck.
Oh yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, but yeah, you know,
Paul, if you want to lead a group on her and that projective geometry sometime, I think that would be fascinating.
Well, I was trying to get somebody who has something of a background in mathematics. By the way, I finally have a meeting with a statistician who is going to give me the mathematical formulae so that I can create statistical tables for tarot readings.
Oh, fun.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is why this hasn't been done before is beyond me, because it's the most rudimentary form of statistics. Now,
sure, I run my own little spreadsheets on it a lot of times. But, yeah,
well, that's great. You see, I mean, you know, in fact, maybe I should have asked you to do this, but this guy is, he's a biological statistician, so this stuff, having a fixed set of 78 cards and dealing with the variants that are possible within a 78 field is pretty rudimentary form of statistical work.
Bob Place brings this up, I believe, in his book, and also certainly every time in his lectures, about why he doesn't use reversals. And he gives some sort of statistic, which sort of goes in one of my ears. And
are you talking about Robert Place?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I believe Mary uses the same statistic as does Rachel. And, you know, it's sort of meaningless to me. I didn't go much further than mean, median, and mode.
Well, actually, because it's such a small field, we could create an algorithms.
Uh-huh.
We could show what the algorithms are for these.
You know who would really have a handle on this would be the fellow that created the CD along with Christine Payne Tower. To generate a CD, he was the first to do a tarot reading. He would have the algorithms for the decks, and, well, his statistician would be. And Lisa Ray Fallow knows him. I don't know
the CD, and the guy that I know who's a statistician is a friend, so I don't have to pay him anything.
Right.
So I'm going to get the information myself.
There's one statistic that's...
And I'm going to publish it to where it's accessible to anybody who's interested. So that's
I believe it's what they also use on their site.
What makes sense is that you really should have a sense of, when you do a 10-card reading, how likely is it that you're going to draw a court card? How likely is it that you're going to draw a major arcana card?
Yes, I think you're right, because I think that will color the reading. What's not there, how few you have that.
That kind of knowledge is
good
really to show thoughts. That... You know, and if you do a 5-card reading, what is the thing?
Yeah.
So, you know, for instance, when I did a, 9-card reading and 7 of the cards were major arcana, well, that was a little over the top. You know, but the likelihood of getting that many major arcana, and again, I don't have people just drawing from the top of the deck. I have them drawing from anywhere. And,
yeah.
You know, in other words, they're just pulling them out
right.
anywhere from a fan. And
now you called Frieda's work projective geometry. Now maybe David can pipe in on this. When I first looked for this at the priest, I sort of that new physics, the thread business.
Yeah.
That's really what went through. But what went through my mind. Anyone?
Well, the projective geometry was there's a number of things. Circa 1900. There's the Ouspensky, and Ouspensky had a whole thing going on with multiple dimensions in mathematics,
right?
And visualizing beyond four dimensions as dimensional space, a multi-dimensional space, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 dimensions.
Well, isn't that the cube of space?
That may have come out of that work. I haven't looked at it lately enough to see the relevance. But that was going on, and then also projective geometry was actually what gave us three-point perspective in paintings. The illusion of perspective in paintings was developed around the Renaissance. And it was sort of rediscovered.
Is that camera obscura?
Huh?
Is that
the camera obscura?
Yeah.
That was one of the ways that they sort of mechanically reproduced it,
Oh, okay, fine.
It was like copying the pictures.
Right.
That they got from the camera that gave them the sense that there was some kind of
they would through that dot to the figure, right.
Yeah. But the... I don't know much about it. I thought that it would make sense to get somebody who did know something more about it to do that. personally, though,
I have a thought that I might know somebody, Paul, so I'm going to check around and see if I can find you somebody.
I did this. If you want to try it sometime, if you look, if you get the Toth card out and you put it on a big piece of paper and just center it there on a big piece of paper, and then get strings or lines and extend the lines that are moving around or in circles around outside of the thing, outside of what it is, you'll see that there's some really interesting effects take place. In other words, to extend the lines of force or the geometrical
lines. Well, you're holding us in suspense. What kinds of effects take place?
We have to see them. You have to.
I know, but does that lend to the reading? Does that give us?
No, it doesn't lend to the reading. It lends to an understanding of what those lines of force might be doing.
Yeah, the energy fields they create.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, because if you look here at the love card, it's very calm. Mm-hmm. And the others, like the Nine of Swords, is very, the patterns in the background are very off-putting, same thing as a Ten of Swords, or even the Ten of Wands. And also the Wheel of Fortune, very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. It's the energy fields. There's definitely...
There are ley lines between human beings within us and external to us that I'm sure are affected by the ground we walk on, the land we walk on, but I think human beings also have these things.
Well, yeah, actually, yeah. I mean, in Ayurvedic,
they're
called the nadis.
Right.
And little nadis. Yeah. I used to see that. I still see that. That's actually probably why I was using string to extend my force field.
That's what I meant, string theory. I didn't mean that.
I mean using string.
Right.
Forget string theory. I'm not, forget physics. Just, I'm using string to see what these things are. And, yeah, it's one way of visualizing, getting a sense of how this stuff works. I mean, in part, the aesthetics of it.
I have to share something with you guys. I had this very strange dream last night. I won't share the whole dream because it was really wacko. But the most salient thing in the dream to me was I was walking around holding this deck of tarot cards. I think it may have been either Rider Waite or Universal Waite. I don't know. But there were no borders on the faces of the cards, and the design on the card, the colors, not only extended all the way out to the edge of the cards, but wrapped around the actual narrow edge of the card. So when I had the cards stacked up together, if you looked at the edge, you could see pictures. And depending on how the cards were stacked, the picture would change.
Oh,
isn't that weird?
That
it was
so
cool.
Fascinating.
It was cool. I was just utterly fascinated in the dream. I just kept looking at it. And one of the pictures I remember was like two cranes standing, you know, on one leg with the other leg held up, or herons or whatever they were. One of them was bright yellow and the other one was bright orange. It was just the coolest thing ever. And I thought, when I woke up, I thought, man, I wonder if you could do that, you know. What would you get, you know, if you tried to do that?
I think that's fabulous. If only you could somehow draw the dream.
Oh, I know. It was really cool. I'm sorry.
It was like a real surreal movie or a little YouTube or whatever.
And, I mean, I was shuffling the deck, but instead of laying out a spread, I was shuffling the deck and restacking it and looking at the edge of the cards to get the picture. You know, it was
a really cool metaphor for the fact that, you know, the kind of unity versus diversity again is that, you know, a spread of nine cards really isn't nine different cards. It's one image.
It's one image, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what your deck was doing for you. It was just taking you straight to that unity image of the spread. Wow, that's really cool.
It was cool. But
I'm writing this down, the unity image of the spread. How would we Unity image of
you know, it's
well,
funny
that's one of the reasons why I've been using the 9-card spread 3x3.
Uh-huh.
I mean, immediately what
you
have.
It makes a picture, yeah.
Yeah, it makes a mandala.
Uh-huh.
I used to get very annoyed with the white space around cards.
Uh-huh.
Because I wanted to be able to edge them up
uh-huh.
against each other.
Oh, of course, the transparent tarot takes this absolutely to its ultimate, you know.
Ultimate.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Realization.
Yeah.
I actually have proposed, I've sent a study group proposal to Walden Rezan for this year's, for 2011 Reader Studio, to do a study group on melding the imagery of the cards in a spread into one image. I mean, I
think
know
that's a great idea.
A lot of us do it all the time, but a lot of
mm-hmm.
people don't, especially
and,
those
and actually,
who are new.
I do know a bookbinder who has access to all the clipping stuff. Actually, there are several tarot artists out there that also do this,
uh-huh.
where they trim off the.
That's called a coverectomy or something. Borderectomy.
Borderectomy.
Mary Greer is very big on borderectomy.
I know.
Yes. And that's partly the way. I think everybody. I mean, with much used decks, like I'm definitely going to borderectomize a Toth deck.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to definitely do it with the. With a Rider-Waite-Smith deck.
Well, you know, one way to do this without actually borderectomizing your cards or butchering them, as some people look at it, is to scan your cards and take, you know, crop the images so that
mm-hmm.
the borders are gone. And then you can really play with them on your computer screen. You know, you can rearrange them and overlap them, and it's kind of cool. I play with them on the screen all the time.
What program do you use? A word
I just use like PowerPoint, nothing special. Yeah. Yeah.
I have to talk with you more about your what you were just talking about for your the Reader Studio thing.
Uh-huh.
What did you call that?
Uh-huh.
What did you just call that?
A study group. I don't know if they're going to accept my proposal or not,
but
I did
submit
it.
What did you call? What did you call your theme?
Actually, I call it. I just totally blanked on what I called it to them. But the theme is basically looking at multiple cards in a spread, and it doesn't necessarily need to be all the cards. Looking at groups of cards in the spread as a single image.
Mary Greer,
I have a few
years ago.
Oh yeah, I mean it's nothing new, but my point is that you know Mary Greer does it in her 21 Ways to Read the Tarot Card.
Yes,
she has
yes.
you draw. You know, she actually has you create.
That was a very profound
yes.
exercise.
But this is actually even a little different than that. It's not so much making them into... Val, I know this sounds familiar to you. It sounds like tarot triplets, doesn't it? It's not so much making them into one card as it is reading it as one image.
Right.
So it's not so much taking an image from this card, an image from a next card, and an image from the third card, and putting them together to make a new card, as it is looking at them all as like a tableau.
But that,
you know, like,
yeah, see, that's the tableau thing is
yeah.
my idea of reading them mandalically, which
yes,
is the way
exactly.
I like to read cards anyway.
And I call it tarot clusters is the name I gave to it for my for my proposal. I don't know if that's the best name going, but and again, I don't know if they'll accept it. They may have more exciting things, you know, to offer, but. I think people tend to get, especially people who haven't been reading for a very long time and are a little timid, tend to get very locked into position meanings and reading, okay, this card is in this position, it means this, this is this, this is this. And that's okay for a start, but to really get a story in the spread, you need to go beyond that.
I do think that the book that David recommended last week, Beyond the Celtic Cross.
Oh, I ordered that. I just got it yesterday. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet.
Is it Paul Hughes Barlow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I read it, and I do have to say he accomplishes that.
Good.
Good. Not that I agree with everything, you know, no tarot reader is going to agree with everything
mm-hmm.
in every book she reads, he or she reads. But I thought he really liberates the cards from those fixed places, even
right.
fixed meanings.
Right.
And
right. Absolutely.
Although Catherine, the girl, the woman he works with, tends to continue to term things. If I, correct me if I'm wrong, David.
No, I mean, that's a great book, and I use it all the time in my spreads now. It really works.
Mm-hmm.
The method.
Well, you let the cards interact with each other instead of just being static in their position and in their meanings.
Yeah.
You know, the other night when I was doing the meaning or the readings, it's amazing. Certain cards kept coming up over and over again in the different readings. One of them was the Eight of Cups. It just kept showing up over and over and over. And yet, with each reading, it really did mean something different. You know, it spoke differently to me in each individual reading. Even though, I've got keywords in my head for what the Eight of Cups means, but, you know, it was just, it was
well, that's, I mean, yeah, it's actually, yeah, like when I was first, when I read my first person, I talked a little bit about a couple of solitary cards.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, well, I just want to do all the cards out there at once, because
uh-huh.
I want to read the pattern rather than the individual
right.
cards. And the, I also knew that I had a lot of people who wanted to get readings from me. I mean, actually, for me doing, I do it about 10 readings in one evening was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
I'm just offering, how would you say, a pat on the back to David to suggesting this book to
oh,
us.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Because I think it's very, it's going to have a lot of meaning.
Yeah.
Well, I've been talking about Paul Yuzbero now for several months.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. But it wasn't until a concrete example was given to my concrete witty-bitty brain that I got it. Bingo went off. I apologize, Paul.
Well, and Paul offers us so much, such a wealth of information and knowledge and resources. And sometimes it's a little hard to zero in on a particular one, you know.
Right.
But it's, I agree.
Well, I have to admit, though, that like David, maybe not as consistently as David, I have definitely found that Paul Yuzbero's writings, for somebody who knows something about tarot, his readings, although in some ways quite traditional,
shockingly so.
Yeah, I mean, he's not inventing his own tradition. He's really just basically exploiting the tradition that as he thinks he got it from through the Golden Dawn.
Right. This is the Golden Dawn reading that I scrupulously avoided dealing with all the years I've been using.
It's nice to have a living exemplar or somebody who does do that. And I highly appreciate him for doing this stuff.
Yes, I did find his website confusing for me.
I recommend it still. I do. He's got two websites, by the way.
Oh, maybe I was on
he's
the
got,
wrong
he's
one.
He's got Super Tarot, and then he has another one whose name I don't quite remember.
Confusing Tarot. No.
It's called something else. It's where he was planning to be more experimental, and it hasn't actually, it's not that highly developed yet.
Well, I think on his website, he goes through the counting of the cards. He doesn't tell you what he's doing. And once you read the book, you kind of understand what's going on with him.
Right. The thing I wanted to say, and I was curious about your consensus, because for the past few weeks, we've all been agreeing that we should be reading the cards as the creator, author, desired us to. What Paul Hughes Barrows, Barlow's system does is give the reader the ability to read any deck at all, regardless, using this method.
That's cool. I can't wait to get into it.
Well,
he's using
the structure of the tarot to move it that way, which is
yes. And he's also very from one book, the Magus book was Tarot. The Magus was Crowley's book, and this book is Rider Waite Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So, or as I like to say, Pixie Stick.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're really in the Anglo tradition, and we are not. We are not in the Marseille tradition.
Right.
Yeah, however, you could do it with the Marseille tradition.
To take somebody who basically, I wouldn't say reinvented, but converted themselves to the Marseille tradition.
Yeah.
And now has become, if not, and has become an exponent of the Marseille tradition. That's partly the value that we're going to get from reading Jodorowsky's work.
I think there's a lot to be said for both styles of decks.
I agree.
And however, you have to be more, I believe, more numerologically based for your pips and whatnot.
Well, actually, in sort of a way of wrapping up, anybody's got anything to say specifically about our reading today, I do want to say that now that we are in the midst of being in the end of the world, and next week's chapter is Don't They Know It's the End of the World? It ended when you said goodbye, and since we're about to say goodbye, we've just passed the Celtic New Year.
Uh-huh.
And we are in the in-between times to where we go to what we could call the secular New Year of December 31st.
Uh-huh.
In this two-month period, we are going to be... And there is a correlation between the end of the world and the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
And the half cup full and resetting the clock.
Yep.
So it, even though... we've sort of hipped and hauled. There have been some interesting calendar effects. We started this thing also in the springtime,
uh-huh.
around March, and we're going to be winding up sometime in December. So as we're stumbling through our life, wondering whether the calf is half full or half empty. We can go on our ways, particularly in the next three chapters are the ones that are all sort of in between stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Very interesting.
I do want to say, didn't you find it weird? I mean, here it is. Am I pronouncing it right? Salmon?
Salmon.
No. Salmon, yes.
Salmon. And we're having these major elections, this big to-do and all the rest.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea what happened.
Well, it was if you're Democratic leaning, it was pretty miserable.
It was pretty.
The Republicans now have control of the House of Representatives.
What about the Senate?
I think that's about split still. They don't
really
know yet.
The Democrats have a slim hold of on the Senate.
Oh really?
Yeah. There were still, earlier this morning, there were still some races that were too close to call yet, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
But even so, it's still...
Yeah, they'll still have, like, maybe 51 to 50, 52 to, you know... not 51 to 50,
so,
51
so,
to 49.
So that some of the more radical, crazy things that some of these people who were elected are saying, such as, we're going to abolish the healthcare reforms.
Yeah.
And
they're backtracking on that already.
They can't do that. I mean, they can't.
My point really is to have elections during such a liminal time, a medial time in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It
is interesting.
It seems to me a foolish thing to do. Like, wait a week.
Yeah, that's what we think of. The symbolic meaning of the Shmi in this story is the electoral process.
There you go.
All right.
There you go. I have to share with you guys. Let me find it. My son posted something on Facebook the other day that I know he's my son, but I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I think you'll get a kick out of it. My son is as irreverent about things as I am. And let's see, what was it he said? This whole stupid election can be summed up as this. I ate nothing but bacon for 10 years, and then I eated some broccoli for 2 days, and I ain't lost no weight, so I'm going to eat up some more bacon.
Very good.
Meg Whitman out here in California spent $170 million on her campaign.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Her own money.
Yeah. She lost to Jerry Brand?
She lost to Jerry
Brand. Okay, I like Jerry Brand. I liked him back then. Yeah.
Well, Rob goes on to say, and then America will spend the next 2 years wiping their greasy fingerprints on their sweatpants and sitting in their Barca loungers with the cup holders in the arm waiting around for St. Sarah Palin. Kill me.
Yeah, hey, look, the other thing is that Sarah Palin is not the kingmaker that she was pretending that she was.
Exactly.
And actually, to be honest with you, one of the problems with our election cycles now, which is overwhelmingly obvious to the extent, is that all of our news media is profoundly right-leaning. The fact that nothing is ever talked about left-wing initiatives of anything is never mentioned in the media, and yet a bunch of stupid, know-nothing, ignorant, crazy people are given incredible press.
Yep.
And paid attention to as if they represented something besides
a white man uprising.
Mindless selfishness.
Well, I have to say, my big gripe about the media is, and it's never going to change, I don't think they should be allowed to give any results until after all the elections are over everywhere.
Yes, I do agree with that, totally.
They had a law that passed. They don't talk about things until the polls close.
Well, supposedly.
When was that?
But out here in California, the polls are closed back east.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know.
So
they talk about the results back east. They don't talk about what's happening in
California. It doesn't matter if that affects. That's still an effect
out here.
All I know.
All those lazy Democrats at home. At least not enough of them stayed at home. And look at that. Even that pot initiative that didn't pass in California. The thing that got me was all the pot smokers, the people who were invested in the pot industry as
voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like prohibition. So much money is being made.
Yeah.
I know. It's silly. Well, speaking of the end of the world, folks, or at least the end of my personal world, my husband and I have an appointment with our attorney in a little while to write our wills. So,
appropriate
is that. Well, now that you're at the end of the world, you know what it all runs up to.
Exactly. Well, I'm kind of like, I'm actually at the point where I'm figuring, why bother? You know, who's going to be around to receive what I leave in my will?
Well, our parents thought that, too, and my grandparents thought that, too. You're going to be around.
Can I have your dex? Leave me your dex.
Yes. Okay. Actually, you know, you think that's funny, but I do have my dex pretty well cataloged, and I am going to appoint my second son executor of my dex so that he can, like, you know, seriously. I mean, I am serious. Contact my tarot friends and see who might want
that. That is so sweet.
Because it's silly to have, you know, 200 decks and just have them go to Goodwill. You know, I mean, that's dumb.
Well, actually, when they're probably worth a few thousand dollars.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, too, because there are a few decks that I actually have scheduled on my homeowner's insurance. I mean, they're like rare books, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You would do a rare book. They're
extremely collectible.
So, I mean, I don't have them all on there, but I've got maybe 10, 12 of them on there.
Mm-hmm. Listen, by the way, if you haven't seen the science deck, it's a great deck.
Oh, is it really?
I do agree. I got it right off, and I haven't really worked with it yet.
Science deck.
It's
called.
I'm sorry, David. The Science Tarot.
That's great. I mean, it's a very teachable deck. Mm-hmm. You know, you learn a lot from it.
Yeah, one of what they do is they have the court cards are all you know, famous people in science,
like Einstein and such.
Greek
scientists and so forth.
And then they break the. They break the elements up, earth, air, fire, and water, into certain basic chemical reactions. I don't quite understand that yet.
Yeah, I'll tell you, some of the descriptions are just marvelous. I mean, they're just really interesting.
Well, I was
so every card is can be still, and they stayed relatively close to the oracular meaning, even though they were bringing in scientific information. I tried to get Mary Greer to tout it in her one of her blogs. But she was, she said she wanted to look at it yet. And apparently, Thalassa is going to review it. She was at the gala when it came out. She's going to be reviewing it for Daughters of Divination and that circular.
I'm looking forward on a completely different note to Emily Cording's Tarot of the Sudet.
Oh, yeah, I've already pre-ordered the She. It's pronounced She.
I have
pre-ordered it already from the Tarot Garden, so I should.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll go to Tarot Garden.
Yeah, they have it available
pre-order.
For pre-order.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
well, listen, guys, I got to go. I will. Are we meeting next week or not?
Yeah, we're meeting next week.
Okay, well, we'll miss you, Johanna. Good
yeah.
luck with your surgery.
Well, I may be able to get on the phone.
I hope so.
I may be able to be on the phone, but I won't be able to function. You know what I'm saying?
I thought your surgery was this week.
It's Thursday, yes. And then...
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'll be thinking about this.
Thank you, dear.
I thought it was
okay,
a few days.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good luck, Johanna.
Thank you.
Okay. Has left the conference.
I'm going to get off because I've had a lot of interrupting phone calls.
Has left the conference.